Wow, we have a word of the Lord this morning, so let's hear what the Lord has to say.
Hi, my name is Judy. I'm from Alaska. My daughter is staying with Frank and Kathleen. I'm here for 10 days. I'm delighted to worship with you. I honor you for the beauty of this house. The Lord showed me a few things this morning. There is a kingly anointing upon this house. But it's as David was anointed king that went through many years of trial, because with the glory comes persecution. And as Saul tried to kill David with the spear, some spears have been shot against this house, but God's protection has been upon you, because with the glory comes persecution. Do not be offended in your heart, but bless those who have tried to use you, persecuted you, or despitefully used you or come against you. Just do as David did, that he would not kill the anointing. And he blessed him, and he loved him, and he loved him. God has set in this house, and is preparing it for the glory. The angels were here this morning. You have glory set behind you, for the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. And the glory angels come as you join your hearts in worship. A torch gets set, and the Ark of the Covenant is prepared for this house. The glory is returning in a measure that we will not be able to keep people from this house. You will not be able to keep the riches from the house, because when it is time, it will explode. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this house as you prepare it for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought, because when David brought the Ark of the Covenant, and he danced even more undignified than this, because he was wholehearted. He wasn't halfway, and you have been a people that are wholehearted. Though there remains a remnant, these are the pillars. You will be able to hold the glory for what you have gone through. Father, thank you for the covering. Thank you for the days that you are setting before us, where your pillars are being lifted, that the Ark of the Covenant of the glory of God would return, that your bride is making herself ready without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
That's awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Man, good. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to pick up from where I was. Man, he's good. That was a great word. I tell you what, we just give the Lord a hand for that. That was really good. Acts 27:9. I'm going to preach half of what I taught Thursday and then take it one more step today. Amen. So if you weren't here Thursday, you're going to get... Amen. Part of Thursday. And then we're going to take it in from here. Now, this is Paul on the high seas in the perfect will of God. Say in the perfect will of God, in the direction of God, walking by faith. God ordained that he appeal to Caesar. God put him on a ship. Now, Paul was a dangerous man, very dangerous man, in so much that they had if you read the first two verses of this chapter, they had a centurion over him. And a centurion has 100 men with him. 100 soldiers just to watch one man. Amen? That's pretty powerful. He was a dangerous man, and he was going before the greatest, probably natural ruler of the earth at that time, was the greatest, Claudius Caesar, and he was going to appeal before him and preach the gospel to him, and the devil knew it. And we talked about Mark 4 when Jesus got in their boat. He said that the enemy would come immediately as soon as the word get in your heart. And he stepped in the boat and said, let us go unto the other side. And on the way, that torrential wind and storm hit them, and it was crashing into the boat. And And we're all going to get there one day, like Jesus was, sleeping on the hinder part of the boat. I took a cruise one time, and I said, listen, I want a good room. And I asked the lady, I grilled her, I said, tell me what, she goes, you want to stay in the middle of the boat. Even if they're large boats, you want to stay in the middle. Don't get on the end. Don't get in the front, because the boat goes like this. And when the wave comes up, the bottom, the back goes down. And when it comes down, it goes like this. You know, the seesaw effect. But if you're in the middle, you avoid a lot of that. And Jesus got on the hinder part. He's going in the middle of a storm crashing in, and he's going like this. And he's sleeping on the hinder part of the boat. His disciples had to awake him. In the perfect will of God, the storm arose, and he spoke to it. Now, I want to pick this up in chapter 27 here. Look at verse 9. Now, I want to share with you that when we're in the perfect will of God, there are several ways to get to the same destination. Okay? When we're in the perfect will of God, there are ways to avoid temptation. There are ways to go right through temptation. And wisdom will always give us a higher path if we can discern wisdom's voice. There are several ways to deal with a storm. We saw the Lord's model. He just stood in the middle of the boat. Full well expected the disciples to do the same thing and speak to the storm right in the middle of it. You have a financial storm in your life. You have to speak to it right in the middle of it and stay in the rest of God. Now here, Paul's on his way. As we saw this, and I can't spend a whole lot of time on this because I want to get to the next place. And verse 9, Acts 27, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, they said to him, sirs, Paul said this. Now, before I read this, remember he's in the perfect will of God, right? I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now, this is something you must see. The centurion was given to natural wisdom here. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. You better be careful what ship you're in. Now, Paul, in this particular situation, was in chains. He was forced into submission to the centurion. He had to go whether he liked it or not. But Paul discerned that there was another way to walk in the perfect will of God. He said, listen, you're on your way here, but there's going to be some trouble. Lots of trouble. Now, this is an aspect of walking in the kingdom of God, especially really in any way we do, whether it's financial, ministry, personal, of hearing and discerning the will of God. Now, Paul was discerning this through the inner witness. He knew something was wrong. Listen, we have to give heed to that. Though you might be in the right direction, you're going right. You are in the perfect will of God. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You can be right there in the middle of it. But there can be two ways to go. What did the Lord say? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. Now you can go through the storm, but if I can avoid the storm, I'm for avoiding the storm. How many are for avoiding the storm? You know, sometimes the Lord will say, wait. Just wait. No, I know this is your will, God. I know. I got to get there. You know how men are. They're going to get there, and they're going to get there now. How many of you ladies like to enjoy the ride? When you're driving, you like to stop at every antique store on the way. Stop. How many of you men just know that we're going to have to do that, whether we like it or not? It's like, might as well get the map out and just go ahead and prepare me now. Tell me, how many times are we going to have to stop? Because ladies like to enjoy the trip. Men, it's like Paul, he's just like, hey, we got to get there. But he knew some trouble. But that centurion, he was a man. He was like a man. You know how he is. He's like, look, we're going. You're a prisoner. You're in chains. You're under my authority. I don't even know why I'm having this conversation with you. Speak to the hand. Before this is over, the centurion will be appealing to Paul. Say, what do we do now? It's amazing how you can be in chains and be the one in authority. If you have authority, you'll end up being an authority, and the storm causes that reversal, see. The reversal is men's hearts fail them, men's sufficiency fails them. They always look for the one who's got the open heaven, see. And Paul said that. Now, had they waited, they could have sailed in smooth waters. So there is a timing aspect to even when we're walking in the perfect will of God, that we listen to the peace that governs our heart, because that can help us. You're going to get there, but you might lose a lot on the way. Even if you're in the perfect will of God, if we're not discerning the time aspect. Well, as you know, they set sail, and sure enough, the Euroclydon. I mean, everyone say Euroclydon. It's only one time it's mentioned. Look at verse 14. But not long after there arose against it. Say, not long after. You get a few days of peace when you miss the Lord. Even when you're in the perfect will of God, they went out of timing. Boy, we get that timing aspect. We can stay in harmony, and God can lead us around the temptation. I'm going to show you that in a minute. But if you miss the timing, though you're in the perfect will of God, your faith is going to be sorely challenged. But you're in the perfect will of God. I mean, if you're one of those that likes, like, let's get it on, let's go right through the storm, well, have at it. With me, if I can park for a little while, wait for the storm to pass, and then go on my journey, I'll take that. We've got to learn to hear the Lord and discern. We can't be overconfident. Especially in the investment world or the business world. If you're listening to people that all they're connected to is the natural, like the centurion did. He said, look, this guy would far know more than you would. He's a shipmaster. He's been doing it all his life. I'll trust him. Well, you can't just trust somebody because they've been plugged into something for 50 years. If they are not connected with heaven, heaven's wisdom's always going to be a lot higher than the earth's wisdom. God, I will be careful who you're listening to. Sometimes you do better just listen to God, you know, just get quiet and still. Sometimes too many voices cause problems. Too many voices, you know, you do surround yourself in a multitude of counsel, but it doesn't become a voting council. You understand what I mean? It's like, well, we'll take a vote whether you heard from God that we even should go to Rome or not. Maybe we shouldn't even go to Rome. That's not the kind of counsel God gives. You see, I don't want to stay on that very long. I'll just move right on. All right, watch this. And when the ship was caught, verse 14, not long ago there arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euroclydon. That's a hurricane, by the way. Sailed right in the middle of a hurricane. Problem is, none of us do that in the natural now because we have all the technology, but in the spirit, we do it all the time. We sail right into stuff that maybe we shouldn't have sailed into. We jumped off into something we weren't ready to jump off into. We heard from the Lord, but we didn't catch his timing. And when the ship was caught, it could not bear up under the wind. Verse 18, now here's what happened. When we miss the timing of God. Now remember, I need you to get this. They're in the will of God. I could say, well, are they in the perfect? I guess perfect would have been they waited. So they're in the permissible will of God. But they're still in the will of God. Some people get the idea, if I'm in the will of God, nothing bad's going to happen to me. Au contraire. Contraire. When you're in the will of God, things happen. Verse 18, let me ask you a question before I proceed. Were they in the will of God? I'm going to say that again. Were they in the will of God? Are you breathing this morning? Everyone say, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to practice that every once in a while, you know. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Sometimes in the will of God, you'll get exceedingly tossed. Not just tossed. Exceedingly tossed. I get the picture of the tossed salad, you know, just. You get tossed. But you're in the will of God. You're not going to die. But I, as I get a little more mature, I'm not saying older. Not yet. I get a little more mature. I'm trying to get more of a timing aspect of the kingdom stuff. Amen. Verse 20. And when there was sun nor stars and many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now I see that both of these are the will of God. I am going to learn to sail in the sun. But they sailed. They were moving in the direction of God. But they sailed right into Euroclydon. And didn't discern it. One man discerned it. They didn't listen. That's the kind of counsel you want to have in your boat. One can discern that kind of storm's coming. When someone tells you a storm's coming that knows God, don't say, oh, I rebuke that. Don't speak that, brother. They might be telling you, hey, if a storm's coming, you either need a brace for it or say, God, is there any way this cup can pass from me? If a storm's coming, you said you could lead me around temptation. Show me how to get around it. If you're discerning a storm's coming, you don't always have to just put boards on the house. There might be a way to get around it. We need to ask the Lord. I'm going to show you how Jesus did that in a minute. He always skirted it. I said, Jesus, they drew you to the brow of the hill in Nazareth, and you walk right out from them. They drew me to the brow of the hill, and I got trampled. How's that work? I said, how's that work? He said, well, you're just not so skilled yet in getting through the crowd. I said, show me that skill. Show me that one, Lord. Help me, Lord. Tossed many days and many nights, exceedingly tossed. There was no sun. Sometimes in the will of God, you're sailing right into the middle of a storm. You haven't seen daylight in weeks, but you're in the will of God. Don't doubt yourself. Because something I can tell you right now, when they were right there in the middle of the will of God, there was no sun nor moon for many days. That's when you're thinking, did I ever hear you, God? I cannot even believe. That's the time it said all hope of their life was gone. Sometimes in the will of God, you sail right in the middle of that thing. Don't start doubting. What do you do when you're in the middle of a storm and you've gotten locked down and like, I don't know if we're ever going to see daylight. The last time I checked, my compass was going the right direction. All of a sudden, there was all this daylight. There was glory. And then all of a sudden, this storm hit me and I've been locked in this thing day and night. I can't see. I can't hear. I don't even know which way we're going until I come out of the storm. Everyone say, you're in the will of God. Sometime in the middle of that storm, you're like, I missed it. I missed it. The last thing you want to do is turn around and go back. Jesus is not about going back. If you're locked in a storm, not everyone, no, we're not all good. Paul did. We're not all going to make the perfect storm. Jesus sailed right in the middle of one. He just spoke to it. They sailed right in the middle of this one. And Paul, now watch what he says. Watch how he handles this. I think he's better the second time around. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, don't you love Paul? He's one of those guys. Told you so. Yep, should have listened. But not long after, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, this is the guy no one was listening to in the beginning, remember? This is a guy, it's like, I'm the centurion, he's the shipmaster, you're a prisoner. Just get that perspective, my brother. Now watch this. And after long absence, authority shifts in the storm. Those who have authority rise to authority in the storm. Amen. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. I told you so." Don't you like that guy? He said, "And not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss." See, there's two different ways you can get to the same destination. That's when we learn to follow wisdom. In our spiritual adolescence, our hunger and our zeal, we're going to make a lot of mistakes like this. We're going to hear, accurately discern the will of God because our hunger connects us to the will of God. But we don't know how to walk it out yet with wisdom and harmony. And many times we move out a little too soon and we sit right in the middle of this stuff. But if you are in the middle of it, it's good training. And if we are in the middle of it, just know you're in the will of God. You probably have not missed God just because you're in the middle of a storm. Amen? I see that more times than not, somebody will hear from God and they'll sail into something like this. And then they'll doubt that they ever heard from God. And the last thing, if you turn that ship around and go backwards, that's when there's trouble. Amen? Amen. Now, where is that verse? There it is, verse 25. Verse 23. "There stood before me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar.'" Now, here's what God does. In the middle of a storm, he'll come and talk to you. These are generally times that you want to hear from him and you don't want to hear from him. Because the kind of stuff he says, you're right where you want to be. Or he reaffirms the will of God. And what you're saying, "Lord, I want to be before Caesar now. I want to be in the promised land now. Not that I'm going to be. Don't tell me no more in the middle of my storm. Oh, you're heading the right direction. Just keep going. You're doing good. I'm with you." No, you want to be right there in the middle of the ocean. Say, you want him to do one of those translate. I want to say transform. Translate. Just get me out of the storm and just plug me down in Rome. That's what I want to be right there. I want an encounter. Supernatural. I don't always want God to come to me and say, "Hey, you're doing good. Just stay on course." I said, "I know I'm doing good because I'm still alive." "You're going in the right direction. You're going to make it. Lord, I want to be there." You understand? But he'll still be faithful to tell you that. Even in the middle of the storm, look how clear Paul was hearing. "Fear not," verse 24, "thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee." That's good. God has given them all that sail, as long as you don't jump off the boat. You jump off the boat, you're on your own. Now, here's how you handle a storm. Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Now, see, here's this diametrically opposed situation. They're still in the middle of the storm. You have to understand. They hadn't even hit land yet. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." In the middle of the storm, have joy, my brother. "Be of good cheer, for I believe God. And it shall be even as it was told me." He's not talking about this on the other side of the storm. They're still in the middle of it. In fact, they're going to have to light the entire ship before they're through, and it's going to break on a rock. And they're going to fall on the island of Melita. And they're going to have a revival on that island. And Publius' father's going to get healed of dysentery. And then all the island's going to come. And that island, here's another thing that happens. The only God can do these things. That island of Melita would probably not have been testified to had they waited. They would have missed the adversity of the storm, but that whole island would not have received the gospel. So even in the middle of the storm, God's working his plan. Say, well, would they have stopped at Melita or not? I don't know if they would have not. Probably not. They were forced into that island. Their ship broke on that island. Even if you have a broken ship, God's preparing you for revival. Listen, it doesn't matter what happens to you. You're still going to, the outcome's going to be God. But I still like the more peaceable outcome. Amen. Look, I'll take the pizza route, God. If there's an island you'd like me to just, you know, ride up to, I'll do it. Praise God. Just give me the more peaceable route. Hallelujah. Everyone say, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Let this cup pass from me. Don't be so spiritual not to pray that. Jesus himself asked it if that cup could pass. It couldn't pass from him. He had to drink it. He drank it so we don't have to. Say, well, you know, he was led in the wilderness. He was led in the wilderness for you. He became your substitute in the wilderness. He won the battle, spirit, soul, and body in the wilderness. Gave you his standing and his victory out of that wilderness. It would say, Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me. We need to learn to do that with our business. We need to learn to do that. Homes, family, anywhere and every day. Father, lead me not. We got away from that, you know, because sometimes we get this glutton for punishment anointing, you know. We get that glutton for punishment doctrine. You know, we got to go through there and be strong and learn some things. Hey, you're going to learn some things regardless. But I like that. Lead me not into temptation. God, I've done enough of that. I've learned a lot, but I want to learn another way. I said, deliver me from the evil, Father, of this day. If evil's coming, deliver me. Deliver me, Father. If evil's on its way to me, deliver me. Let me sidestep it. I'm going to show you how the Lord sidestepped it. You want to see the Texas two-step sidestep? All right, go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is the Texas sidestep right here. I kind of wish I had learned a little more about this operation 12 years ago. It would have helped a lot. I think it's going to help our business, especially in navigating through troubled waters. Not every storm on the earth has to come by you and affect you. Just because someone's talking about financial storms doesn't mean it needs to be on your lips. You need to call your staff and say, listen, there might be trouble on the earth. There might be trouble in financial arenas. There might be recession, but that's not going to get on us. Who we talked about the other day, I said, that's not on us. That is not us. That's not on us. We're not a part of that system. We walk in a different system. We don't have to have that on us. Don't be talking about that. Don't be accepting that. Don't be listening to that. Doom and gloom, because that's not going to produce anything. We are a people of faith and a people of the kingdom. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you're just in denial. No, I'm lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil. Amen. All right, John chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. All right, great ministry opportunity here of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary, this is not his mother. It was Mary that which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with his hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Okay? You've got a situation that needs your attention. All right? And Jesus heard that. If you're a Baptist, you stop right here at verse 4. I love the Baptists, but they don't go any further than this verse 4 right here, unfortunately. I should have said if you're denominational. Excuse me. And Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, people adopt that theology right there. It's like, which for the glory of God, I carry this sickness and infirmity. I said, well, you are. Just read on through the chapter. If God's going to get full glory, then you might as well let him raise you from the dead while he's at it. Amen. The thing, the laws of meditation, you got to find out what he's talking about. Now, this is important. Lazarus is sick unto death. Okay? You have an anointing that can change that. There might be a financial institution sick unto death, and you have an anointing to change it, and it's wanting your attention now. That financial deal, if you'll just come and get in business with us, all this stuff will change. And said, well, watch what he did. Now, watch first what it says. He said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Say, he loved them, but he waited. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, later on in that chapter, Martha had a big problem with that. That's a problem. You get too close to the Lord. You know, they got kind of close to him. They were buddies, and they were letting him know. He didn't leave then, and Lazarus ended up dying. Now, he had left. They could have got to him before he died. Well, saying, well, he waited so Lazarus could then be raised from the dead where he could get glory. Yeah, that God's into the death business. He'd rather you just die. Of course, God will raise you from the dead, but God's not going to sit there and, well, I think I'll just go ahead and let you die and suffer for 2 or 3 days. That's the theology you adopt. That way I can get more glory. You think God's that hard up for glory? To let you sit there and die like that? Well, no, he's letting them, teaching them something, and then he's going to, what are you going to learn being wrapped in grave clothes? Lazarus, he waited 2 days. Why did he wait? Because Martha came to him and said, if you wouldn't have waited, my brother had not died. Why did you wait? You're the only one that had an answer. This is the thing we have to, either businessmen or ministry. Just because there's a need doesn't mean it requires your immediate attention. You can be led about on a chain and a leash the rest of your life like that. Like, well, bless God. You can't. You have to discern whether this requires your attention. Why did he wait, though? In this particular case, he was coming, but he waited. Quiet in this Baptist church. Then, verse 7, after he waited 2 days, said unto his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. He just left there 2 weeks ago. It wasn't a pretty sight. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jump over to John chapter 10. Just back up real quick to verse 30. This is 2 weeks prior to this situation. John 10, verse 30. He makes a pretty remarkable statement. He said, I and my Father are one. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. The Jews took up stones again. Everyone say again. To stone him. He's answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which one of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. So they wanted to kill him. Don't you know he knew that? The devil strikes at Lazarus. They require his attention immediately, and he waits 2 days. Then when he gets ready to go, his disciples said, you know, the Jews have laid wait the stone. He said, yes, I know that. Why do you think I waited 2 days? He's walking in the spirit. That's called lead me not into temptation. That's called deliver me from the evil. Even the Lord had to walk by the Spirit of God. He had to walk by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, and Jesus answers, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he see the light of this world. And if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. He goes, listen, I'm walking in the light of the kingdom. I saw the trap before it happened. How'd you like to have that kind of discernment? Oh, that's deep water there. Even the requirement of your friends dying, you got to get there now. I got to wait. Thank God I am the resurrection and the life. I'm carrying resurrection power, so if he dies before I can go, but I have to avoid this. See, he was avoiding that trap. When he got ready to go, his disciples said, you know, now Thomas, don't you love Thomas? Verse 11, these things said he, and after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now, how'd you like to deal with his disciples? They never tracked with him. They never understood anything he said. Every time he said something, what do you mean he's sleeping? What do you mean? Then it said to his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well then. Of course, he's not dead then. Hallelujah. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he was had spoken of taking a rest in the sleep. What do you call that? That was called confession. Listen, he's not dead. He's just sleeping, but I'm going to go wake him out of his sleep. That's called faith and confession. Everyone say faith and confession. After the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, then he'd do well. Then he had to plainly tell him. He goes, look, Lazarus is dead, all right? Trying to teach you a little bit of faith and confession here. I was just calling him asleep. I was going to go wake him. But since you can't get it, I have to go, he's dead. Get it. He's dead. So he said, verse 14, no wonder the Lord was the way he was. He got a little agitated every once in a while. You know, there is divine agitation, you know. There's carnal agitation. Done that a couple times. This morning. Divine agitation. But then there's divine agitation. That's when you're walking in the high places and there's nobody around you getting you. They just don't get you. And Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go in him. Now, don't you love Thomas? I love Thomas. Then Thomas, which is called Didymus. Unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him today. They knew they were going in there, but he was walking by the light of the day. You know, there's different ways to discern, but he caught that. I don't know, he was probably seeing an open vision of that trap. Visions, one of the great ways of leadership is dreams. Paying attention to your dreams. Inner witness. The word of the Lord says that word is a lamp under your feet, a light. If you get in the word heavy every day, I mean, you really get into it, where you just submerge, it'll become a lamp. I call it the lampstand. It's a lamp under your feet. It'll open up and you'll start seeing things. Sometime the next day, you'll see it in the word. I don't know how to explain that. Just rhema revelation comes to you. You know things about situations and people and business deals. I have pages of rhema revelation concerning business deals. Just spot on stuff. You get that lampstand working, dreams. See, you're walking in the light of the day. There's no stumbling in you. See, he could have gone. It's the will of God for Lazarus to be healed. But see, that timing aspect. We've got to be a people that know and learn that timing. I missed it so many times. Gotten out of step. Gotten out of timing with the Lord. Moved too fast. See, public opinion there with the Lord. Martha and Mary, they're all. If you would have come earlier, he would not have died. His death's on your shoulder. See, that public opinion presses because they know everyone senses, okay, this is the thing to do. You're going. But then there's the timing aspect of getting there. Amen. It's not just because you discern where to go. You got to discern when to go. Like Paul did. Amen. Well, as you know, Lazarus, after Jesus went through all the situation, the Bible said he wept. And the Jews said, oh, how he loved Jesus. Look at him weeping over Lazarus. He was weeping over their unbelief. None of them believe. He told Martha, he said, said not unto thee that if you believe, you would see the glory of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He raised him from the dead. Now, remember, we talked about this the other day, and I'm closing now. Everyone say, he's closing. That every time a storm arises, a trap is laid, whether it was going to, the enemy's wanting to stop the progression of something. Like in Mark 4, he was trying to stop the progression of that man landing and that demoniac getting healed, and he sent him to Decapolis for 10 city anointing. He went and preached to the Lord of 10 different cities, and Jesus came back into Decapolis and had major revivals in those cities because that man went before him and gave that testimony. There's always something in front of the storm or the trap that's challenging you. The enemy's always going to try to stop the will of God, and we've got to get a people of wisdom and strength. We've got to learn to speak in the storm. It shall be even as it told me in the middle of a Euroclodon. It shall be. We're going to get through. I will appeal before Caesar. We will get into the promised land. We will inherit that mountain. There's just better ways to go around it. Now I'm going to close with this. This is after Lazarus was raised from the dead. Go to chapter 12. No, I'm sorry. Look at verse 45 real quick, John 11. This won't take long, about an hour. Oh, I smell the food. I'm ready to close. We're going to be out of here real soon. I'm being called right now. I feel the calling of the Lord right now. I can sense the aroma of the kingdom right now. John 11, that's the worst thing you do, be in service. Everybody, that aroma passes by you and going, it's like, I sure wish this man get through. I'm ready to go eat. Don't amen. Don't be amen to me. Nobody amen me. It's a trap. Verse 11, John 11:11. These things said he. Yeah, we're going to go to. Did I say 45? Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, 45. That aroma, I'm getting drunk on the. Verse 45. Now, this is what happens when you get through. The will of God is performed. Won't you see what's going to happen beyond Lazarus being raised from the dead? I want you to see beyond, because there's always above and beyond. There's always something. When something happens, it produces something else. I want you to see the something else you may not always pick up. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews, which these were hardliners, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. When did they believe? Well, when that preacher preached a nice message. Well, they had, you know, good programs in their church, you know. No, when they saw Lazarus from the dead, they looked at the Pharisees, they looked at him, said, I believe I'll follow him from here on out. Said, until you can get a guy to walk out of the tomb 3 days, by this time, Lord, he stinketh. If you can get that guy that stinketh to come on out, you got it. You're going to see some major stuff happen. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees. You're always going to have the some of thems. The some of thems don't care what they see or what they hear. They don't care how much glory is in the building. All they want to do is talk about you. You better be careful if you're running with the some of thems. You might have that some of them anointing. went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees. Here's the problem with the chief priests and the Pharisees and boards and all that stuff. And said, what do we? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. Gee, what a noble thought. Everyone will believe in God. We let him alone. They're going to quit following us. They're going to start following him. We're going to lose our preeminence. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. And because we don't really know God, we just profess to know him. We're going to have to fight to keep what we got. Amen. Now I'm closing. Go to John chapter 12. You there? Verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. This is when he came in to the triumph entry where they laid down the, when he came in on the donkey. All those people were there because he just got through raising Lazarus and they wanted to see the person he raised from the dead. So they were all to see him. They were there to see him, and also said they were there to see the one he raised from the dead. You get real quick multitudes when you start raising people from the dead that are 4 days old. That stinketh. All right, you ready for this? I'm closing. Much people of the Jews therefore knew he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only. Huh. Thought they'd come to hear my sermon. But they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priest, don't you love the chief priest? I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? The chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They might as well put in the King James again. It's like, okay, he just raised him to dead. We're going to kill him again. We didn't like that guy anyway. You raise him the dead. Our answer to you raising the dead, we'll just kill him. Hello? He was raised from the dead. You can't kill him. This is why they wanted to kill him. Wanted to kill Lazarus again, because that for reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. That's what happens when the gospel of demonstration gets in. Many people start believing that won't otherwise believe in word only. Amen. So we continue our quest for the demonstration of the kingdom. Amen. I mean, I love nice places and I want everything to be full, but I really want to obtain something before I want to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom to the world. Amen. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that we walk in the light of the day. Let that spirit of counsel be upon us. All the day long, our counselors shall not be hid in a corner any longer, but our eyes will see our counselors. Our ears will hear a word behind us saying, this is the way. Walk you into it when we turn to the right and to the left. Amen.